verse, reading from the New International Version. It says, For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I want to talk about if jars would talk, if jars would talk. First Corinthians 4 is a very important chapter. It's an important chapter because it is a chapter where Paul is saying to all believers, don't give up. In chapter 4, he has to remind us, and every now and then, we have to be encouraged and reminded about the marvelous things that we have. Matter of fact, Paul says this in, it's interesting how he says this. He says this in verse 1. He says it in verse 7. He says it in verse 13. He says three particular things that we have that ought to keep us moving on and fighting the good fight of preaching this great gospel. In one verse, the first verse, he says that we have this ministry. In the seventh verse, he says we've been given a treasure. In the 13th verse, he says we've been given a common faith. We've been given this mercy. We've been given this treasure, and we've been given a common faith, which ought to encourage us, to stay in the faith and fight the good fight. Let me walk you through it. Go to that first verse. Because if jars would talk, they would have to talk about the mercy ministry. This ministry we have through mercy. Look at this first verse. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. The God we serve has given each and every one of us a ministry. We didn't ask for it. Most of us run from it, and some of us sit down on it. But God is merciful. You do know what that is, don't you? It's first cousins to grace. But most of us, if we were to ever study grace and we were ever study mercy, most of us would land on love and mercy first. Because mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. And because God has been merciful, stay in that second verse, we, because God's been merciful, should get rid of shameful Rather, we have renounced shameful, secret, and shameful ways. That's one of the reasons I need mercy. It's because there's some things in my life, let's tell the truth, that are shameful. There's some stuff I've done that I know I shouldn't do. There's some things I've said that I know I shouldn't say. And one of the things that is important that Paul says, if we're going to be ministering through this mercy, we ought to really be engaged in fighting to get rid of shameful stuff. Because it's hard to preach one thing and everybody see something else. Then Paul says, not only have we been given this ministry of mercy, we should denounce shameful things. I'm still in the second verse. But then he says, but we do not use deception, which means that we don't try to trick nobody into accepting Jesus. We ain't trying to trick nobody into the church. We ain't telling nobody, send me $10 and I'll pray for you. We ain't telling nobody, sow a seed of 1,000 and everything gonna be all right. And then my time clock wakes me up around 3 or 4 in the morning, and every now and then sometimes I'll still have the TV on. And then the other day I saw a fella, he was saying, now here's the issue. Some of your seed, y'all sold $1,000 seed, but some of your seed is dormant. So you send another $500, put some water on the dormant seed. Paul said, we don't use deception to try to get folk into the church, nor do we distort the word of God. Y'all, let me tell you something. The word still works, and the word will do what the word do if you just handle it accurately. Just let the word speak. He says, we've been given this ministry, therefore we renounce shameful stuff. We don't use deception to trick folk. We don't distort the truth. But here's what we do. Verse 5, we preach Jesus Christ, Lord. That's it. God sent his son. His name is Jesus. Have I got a witness here? You know to run, Mary's baby, the Lamb of God, who died to take away the sins of the world. But we don't stop with Jesus on a cross. We got to carry it all the way, because on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, reigning as Lord. He's Jesus, my Savior, Christ Emmanuel with us, and Lord, ruler, master of my life. That's what we preach. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord. Hey, here's the second one. And we don't preach it as celebrities. Because the focus of our preaching is not to put the spotlight on us. Come here, talk to me. Talk to me. The essence, we preach not so that we will become famous. We don't preach to make a name for ourselves. We preach that the world may know there is a name above every name. And not at the name, not at the feet of Rasco, but one day at the feet of Jesus. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue going to confess that sure enough, he is Lord. The goal is not for us to become celebrities. Watch the text. We preach Jesus Christ, Lord, and ourselves as servants. We do it as a servant. Let me explain it. This week I had the pleasure of being a guest of Dr. Roshan at USI at a luncheon. And I got there early, and the server was dressed appropriately for serving. She had on some slacks, a nice, very clean top, little name tag of the company that she represented. And she directed me into the room. In the room, there was about 10 settings. There was a salad. There was a basket with bread. There was butter on a plate. Several knives, forks, all of that. Water, empty glass for tea. And once we came in, at the appointed time, I sat down. And then she came to me and asked me, would you like coffee or tea or both? I said, ma'am, I'd like to have some tea. And then she went out of the room. I'm sitting there beginning to engage with the other participants in the meeting. And she reached around, took my glass, filled it up, and put it back. And I didn't see her no more, unless she was in my periphery serving somebody else. At the appointed time, we prayed, and at the appointed time, we started eating our salad. And then I finished for everybody else. And then a hand reached around that I didn't even see her face. But the hand reached around, took my plate, the knife, and the fork that I had used, and took it away. And I sat there, and little by little, everybody, as they finished, without saying a word, the server came in without being seen and reached and took what had been used and took it away. We kept on talking, kept on fellowshipping. And at the appointed time, the servant came back again. And this time, she reached around, and there was a plate and another big bowl, and she put in front of me a pot pie sitting on a towel, and she whispered in my ear without disrupting anything else that was going on, the plate is hot. And she moved out of the way. At the appointed time, when we had finished eating, the minute I was done with the plate, she again showed up and took what I finished, took it out of the way, and then filled my tea without saying a word. You're going to catch this in a minute. And the only thing left was my cheesecake, and I worked on it, and at the appointed time, she showed up without saying a word and did what she was called to do. Come here, come here. Paul said, we don't do this to put a spotlight on ourselves. The point is, we are servants. We are to show up and do our assignment without ever bringing attention to ourselves. Oops. Oops. The minute somebody got to call your name, oops. The minute you get mad because your name was misspelled, oops. The minute somebody don't call you doctor, oops. If Jaws would talk, they would talk about this ministry of mercy, where we preach Christ, not as celebrities, but we do it as servers for Jesus. If Jars could talk, they would tell you the value is what's in the vessel. I'll get to that in a minute. The value is what's inside the vessel, not the vessel itself. Paul said that we have this treasure in jars of clay. God has placed, wait a minute, what treasure? What treasure? The context shows us in the previous verse that to know who Jesus is, the knowledge of who he is, what he's come to do, and the privilege that he's given us to do ministry is a treasure. A treasure is something very valuable. A treasure is something that should be guarded. And the good God we serve has placed this knowledge, this treasure of who Jesus is and who he is and what he's come to do in a jar of clay. You would think that something this valuable he'd lock up in a vault. But the good God we serve don't mind using simple vessels to hold his treasure. The amazing thing about this is that what it really shows, it shows the power of God that he would choose a weak vessel. It shows that not only will he pick a vessel, but that he will put something in a vessel, and then he will work through a vessel in order to accomplish his will. And he does all of that. He does all of this so that everybody will know that it was the power of God that did it. I told y'all earlier this year that I was going to do a canning ministry later on this year. And one of my friends heard about it, and he said, hey, listen, I've already given away about 1,000 jars, but I got about 300 left. Do you want them? And I said to myself, Ed, help him out, wake him up. I said, yes and no. Then I said, okay, yes, I'll do it. I'll do it. And he said, now, some of these are very old. And I said, yeah, I understand. He said, some of the stuff's good, but some of it, you know. I said, no problem. And here's what I realized. I realized that if I was going to do this, I couldn't do this all by myself. But I got one Ed. He went with me, and we picked him up. We put him in boxes. Then I got another Ed. We brought him in the church. We had to come up with a plan. Because the problem is, this is going to be a whole lot of work. And then somebody said to me, Pastor, jars are cheap. You can get a dozen wide mouth mason jars for $10, sometimes $11 at Walmart. He said, don't you have enough money? I said, yeah, I got the money. He said, why don't you just throw them away? And I wanted to, but the minute I was getting ready to throw it away. The jar talked to me. And I heard him say, please, please, please. And I looked at it and I said, look, you messed up on the inside. I know, but please. And then, of course, the God I serve said, You really ought to keep them jars. I said, but this gonna be a whole lot of work. He said, I know. But I gotta do it, had to do it, because the God we serve is in the recycling business. Because the truth is, God, as awesome as he is, could have spoke a word and made a whole bunch of brand new vessels that were clean from the beginning. But he's so merciful. He's so powerful. He's so loving that he looks around and sees vessels that were messed up on the inside and decides to give them another chance. And that's how we ended up here today, because the God we serve, have I got a witness here? He gave us another chance to be used again. This gonna be a whole lot of work, because somebody had to lift them. Somebody had to carry them. Somebody had to unload them out of the truck. Somebody had to get them in the church. And then once you got them in, somebody, because there's a process. And I looked at that jar and I told him, I said, now it's going to take, this ain't going to be easy for you. Because there's some stuff that's been in you a long time. And I can't use you until I get what's nasty out of you. Some of them, they wouldn't let go. I had to run them under cold water. Run them under hot water. Because when the devil has you, he doesn't want to let go. But the jar discovered, I want this nasty stuff out of me, off of me. Some of them I had to hit them upside the head, but I didn't give up until I got the nasty stuff. And once I got it out of them, I washed them. And you can't tell. You can't tell what was on the inside. It smells different. It looks different. Because when the Lord washes you, my. And he uses all kind of vessels, different colors, different sizes, old ones, young ones. But he's willing to use. Paul said, this treasure was God. He places the treasure in us. Let me show you something. The value, everything changes when something is placed in it. See, this jar was just a jar. But then this man named Isley, he put some honey in it. And now it's honey. And you don't really say, hand me the jar of ketchup. You say, hand me the ketchup. You don't say, hand me the jar of honey. You say, hand me the honey. Because what's on the inside, you don't even mention the vessel anymore. The value is based upon what's on the inside. Because the identity changes once the good stuff gets on the inside. Have I got a witness here? I was a sinner. But once Jesus gets on the inside, it changes my identity. This is a lot of work. I know. But once it happens, then the third thing the jar would tell you, it's time to be a genuine witness. A genuine witness. We look at verse 13. I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. This thing, God has given us a common faith, the spirit of faith. That spirit of faith is what tells us, what helps us to express what we believe. And when you know what you know, you've got to speak. See, that's why Dwight can't be still over there. We believe, therefore, we speak. The redeemed of the Lord has to say so. When you've met Jesus, when he's come on the inside and changed your circumstance and situation, you can't be quiet and you can't be still. You experience I gotta tell it. You don't believe me. Hey, you remember the young boy who was blind and they cornered him and told him that Jesus couldn't have done it because he did it on the wrong day. He said, now you say what you want, but here's what I know. I once was blind, but now I see. Because once you know what you know, you can't keep it to yourself. Jesus stopped one day and said, somebody touched me. The disciples said, all kind of people touching you. Jesus said, no, you're talking about bump me. I said, somebody touch me. And he stood right there. And then the woman, because she knew that she'd been healed, she said, I gotta tell it. I just said to myself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Because when the Lord do what the Lord, you can't keep it to yourself. I know the Lord bless me to minister to this church for 30 years. Nobody but the Lord. I know the Lord helped us raise our children. I know the Lord has made a way over and over and over again. Isn't it wonderful? He'll take any old vessel that will make themselves available to him. We celebrate him because he chooses the vessel. He cleanses the vessel. I heard you. Sister said, what did you do? What did you do with all them jars? I'm glad you asked. After I chose them, I cleansed them, washed them, and wrapped them. Because they're all the intent, they were created to be used. They're wrapped up, sitting on a shelf to be used at a later date. That's what you do with jars. But when God saves people, He chooses you. He cleanses you. But He ain't sitting you on no shelf to be used at a later date. He chooses you. He cleanses you. And He fills you to be used right now. Right now. Right now. You and I, we didn't ask for it. God gave it to us. This ministry of mercy, this great gospel that we preach, nothing but Jesus Christ and Him, Lord. We don't do this so that we can become famous. We preach to celebrate and make Him famous. He's given us the privilege of being a vessel in His care. He does it through His power. He does it so that when all is said and done, everybody will know it was nobody but the Lord. I don't care who you are, God can use you. I know what you're saying, I'm shy. God can use you. I don't know all I need to know. God can still use you. But I'm a little child. God can use you because He'll take whatever size vessel you are, and He'll place His Spirit, and that Spirit comes with a gift. His whole purpose in choosing you is because He has a plan to use you someday. I got a whole bunch of jars sitting on the shelf somewhere. Lord, stay the same. We're going to pull them out down the road. But that's not the picture as a child of God that you should have. You should have the understanding that I need to make myself available to the Lord. And I want Him to fill me with His Spirit and then use me to His glory. So that people will not see me the vessel, but the value is what He places within. And one day, folk will be sitting around the table and they'll call for what's in you. And you get a chance to apply it. One last thing, and I'm out of your way. But Reverend, I'm not a big vessel. Don't let that fool you. Pastor, I don't have the level of capacity that some others have. Don't let that fool you. Because here's what I tell you. When you go in the store, I want you to go down that aisle and look at that little jar of caviar. And caviar is one of the smallest jars in the store, but it's got the highest price. Because God can put some expensive stuff in little jars.